city feels like it's finally kind of calmed down after Saturday night. Place was jumping. Yesterday, people still buzzing about it. Today, it feels like, okay, we're back into the routine. And I would guess the sentiment would be the same for our next guest. Bob Hartley, coach of the Flames, joins us. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
So, can you, I know that you've answered this question and we've read it in the papers and that, but the building, the vibe on Saturday, I guess walk us through your Saturday. You get out of bed and you go through your routine. What was your day like? And then the ending off, obviously, with the experience at the Dome being down 3-0 and then winning by 3.
Well, like my days, especially on game days, are always exactly the same. So I have my own routine like many players do, and we just get ready, in the morning, obviously players are in and airing, and then in the afternoon, usually I'm by myself downstairs. I spend the entire day at the rink, and I watch the last game, and I'm trying to keep looking for weaknesses or areas that you can take advantage on your opponents. And at the same time, I always prepare different scenarios for my forward lines, different scenarios for deep pairings in case of injuries, in case of bad performances, in case of 10-minute misconducts or whatever could happen in a game. Once you're behind the bench, the game is so fast that you can't expose yourself to having to make a decision and you didn't even think about it, whether in the afternoon or before the game or whenever time. So I always take the afternoons of games, to really look, okay, if things don't go our way, what are my options? And if, it happens, well, at least you're ready. It's not a perfect science, but at the same time, it prepares, we ask our players to be ready mentally. Well, I think as a coaching staff, it's the same thing. You need to be prepared. And once the puck drop as a coach, there's not many things left than adjustments. And usually you make adjustments when things don't go right. So you need to be ready. You need to take some chances once in a while, to take some gambles, but that's our job. My job as a coach is to make decisions. I will never go and talk to the media or talk to my players after and said, I should have done this. That's not my philosophy. That's not my thinking. You have to be on the moment and you need to be ready. So that's what I use game days to get myself ready.
The approach in shutting down the Sedins, and I thought game 6 was, it was obviously great to watch as a fan and exciting for everybody, but the one night where your top line was near or at its best, and the Sedins were also equally dangerous. And we kind of laughed about it because Rhett said, when I play the Sedins, the best thing, don't chase them, right, Rhett? You just don't do it.
I couldn't catch them, but yeah, I always was. If you chase after them, they're going to make you look sick.
My players, Rhett, they kept telling me, Bob, we can't even get close to them. So after game one, we changed kind of our strategy around them, and we said, okay, and they love being in the corner, and they love being behind the net. So, we told our guys, leave them there and, kind of try to survive every shift. And, I thought that they've done an unbelievable job.
Yeah, and I know because we were both in the seats watching that game. It made the crowd a little antsy as they were going back and forth and having all day behind the net, but it worked.
No, we've been a pressure team from day one. 3 years ago, we came in, we started to instill an identity that on the ice, we're a pressure team, we're on our toes, we're never defending. We're always trying to be proactive and to lead the play. But against the Sedins, we felt that against those guys, it would have been, obviously in the offensive zone, in the neutral zone, we played the Sedins as we played the other three lines. Once we got in our zone, our mindset was different. It was more a containment because they're so good in the give and goes and working two on ones that they're going to get you in the corner and you're going to open up like the slot area. And obviously, we didn't want to do this against the Sedins. So, you know, like, and they're so good at protecting the puck and, you know, keeping possession of the puck that, you know, we felt you want it. Well, you know, we're going to strike a deal with you guys. We're going to let you handle it in the corners or behind the net. And it worked out great for us.
Bob Hartley is our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Kind of a two-parter. If Lance Boma is not injured, does Michael Ferland have the series that he did? And I guess, secondly, was there any way that you saw it coming? And did you have to chat with him before or after games about just kind of harnessing that energy that clearly he has?
Yeah, well, he first, like, you know, like 3 years ago when I first met Michael, you know, like we as an organization, we identify right away an NHL potential. It was up to us to dig it out. You know, like it has been public since that Michael had personal problems and we kind of got a taste of this. His conditioning was not that where it should have been, and his mindset was not there. But, you know, you could see an unbelievable young man that just wanted to do it, but, you know, like he couldn't find the roadmap. Like, and we just had to work with him and get him to a point where, you know, like he would admit that he needed help. And, you know, like I have the utmost respect for Michael. Like I love this kid. He's a great player. He's already a power forward in the NHL, and right now we're just scratching the surface with him. Like this young man is going to be unbelievable for many years to come. And, you know, like, yes, to your question, even if Lance would have been in the lineup, like Michael Ferland would have been in the lineup also. Like, you know, like there's no way that you can keep like a kid that can be dominant physically like this. And, you know, like we're all talking about his body checks, but look how well he plays defensively. Look how well he reads the game. This kid is a hockey player. He's a power forward that can make a difference. Like he can score goals, he can forecheck, he can play defense, and like I said, he's just learning. So, you know, like watch this kid go. Like he's going to be a fan favorite, and he's going to be a big, big part of this team.
Do you know when you're leaving, Coach, to go to Anaheim? Everyone around town seems to be waiting.
We still didn't get like our schedule right now. There's lots of speculation and everything. So, like, as soon as the NHL will give us our schedule, you and our fans will be the first one to know.
How do you treat the? I noticed that when you got to the Winnipeg game at the end of the year, it was really important to get rest for your guys. What's it like between Saturday night and a theoretical game one later this week for rest for your big minute guys?
Well, even yesterday, as you saw in practice, like we had like I don't know, like we probably had like five or six players of our team that went on the ice. All the rest, we kept them in the gym. And today, we're going to still be resting a few guys. So, you know, like we play a lot of minutes. Like our philosophy is that we play to win. So we're going to play our best cards. Obviously, we have many injuries that, you know, like obviously we know about Gio, about Laddie Smead, about Rafi Diaz up front. Like the Buma, like Paul Byron. So obviously they're all players that played like pretty big minutes for us, and like our players that came in, our young players, like they did a fantastic job. But at the same time, you know, like in key moments sometimes, you know, especially on the blue line, as we saw, like we turned towards the end to basically four defensemen, and you know, like some people might say that that's a recipe for disaster, but over here, we don't agree with it. Like, we're a well-conditioned hockey club. Since the first day that I have coached, I understood one thing. Like, best players, they want ice time. They want to be there in key situations. Plus, our conditioning, I think, allows us to play those guys. And we, you know, like, I've always had the same mindset when I coach in the NHL. In between game days in the playoffs, it's optional practices all the time. So, like, it's basically play, day off, play, day off, play, day off. So, like guys with good nutrition, with good hydration. They get good breaks. Like our medical staff works on them. They do light workouts in on non-game days, and they're always ready to go. So I think that the culture that we build from day one is paying off, because our conditioning is really giving us a chance to not only compete in every game, but you look in third periods, even if the ice time of some players are going up, those guys are still fresh and they want to get the job done.
Bob Hartley, head coach of the Calgary Flames, is our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. You mentioned Mark Giordano. So is it just wondering, do you start him in games 3 and 4 back at home, or do you wait until maybe a 5 or 6 when there's potentially a chance to clinch the series?
Our plan for Mark Giordano is he'll be ready for day one of training camp.
Everyone wants to know, right? Everyone's holding their breath and hoping that maybe there's a chance that the captain could be back.
Yeah, well, he's around the team. He's with us. So, like, the captain is around, the player's not.
The thought process, you were very emphatic about it yesterday. Jonas Hiller is your guy in game one. I guess explain to us why that is.
It's a win-win situation. Like, whether we go with Hills or we go with Rams, like both goalies prove during the course of the season that they can win big games for us. But I felt that Hills, got the most of the work, like in the last part of the season. Like Rams got hurt in that game, like where we had to pull them. Hills came in relief, was spectacular. You look at, I felt that Jonas Hiller, played very well against Vancouver. I was real upfront the reasons why we pulled Hills after the two goals. I felt that our team needed a lift, needed a message, and that's the kind of message that our team is always responding. So there was no way that I wanted to go back to Vancouver, and so I wanted to play all my cards, and I have the utmost confidence in both goalies, but I felt that it's most fitting to have Hills play game one. It's his former team. He's been great for us and Erring, we have two goalies capable of winning us games.
When I played in the playoffs, it was always make the other team adjust to you, and you go in, you have your game plan, and make that other team adjust to that. Going into Anaheim, it's a bit of a different beast. I mean, obviously, the Sedin twins, very good, but I thought it died off after that. With Anaheim, you got Kessler, Getzlaff, and then you got Perry. They seem a little deeper to me than Vancouver. Is your approach differently with Anaheim, or do you just, that's your game plan?
This is a very good point. Like, not only that they're a different team, but their four lines are different. Like, you analyze every of their line, whether it's Getzlaff or it's Kessler or it's the kid Raquel or Thompson on the fourth line. The identity of the four lines is totally different. Like they have like different role players for every job. So that's an interesting challenge for us. But at the same time, we've played one way all year, and we're not going to change. Like this is playoff hockey, and if today I need to get in the locker room and tell the players, okay, all what we've did since mid September. We need to change it. What message do I give my players? Like the belief that we cultivated, like that it's always about us, the no fear, the no fear slogan, that we go, we walk through fire, we walk through a wall of brick, like it doesn't apply anymore. So we're going there with our guts, we're going to be all out, and we'll make things happen.
I know you talked about it after the game the other night, and I guess just the final one, and it's maybe a little romantic, but the feeling in this city is really like almost nothing we've felt. This city loves this team, and I know you were talking about having to, people want to pump your gas and want to take good care of you. What about the reaction from the city here as you get ready for round two?
It's just unbelievable. Like, I remember when I met the ownership on the first night that I came in to meet like the management and ownership. Like it was one of my comments. I said I remember the Red Mile in 2004, and I would like to be part of this, and I want to be in the Canadian market. And never in my wildest dream, as much as I saw the Red Mile in 2004, you see it on TV, but I leave the rink around midnight after games, and I need to kind of drive around like downtown to go to my house, and it's just crazy. It seems that fans are getting ready to go at the game, and the game has been over for two hours. Yeah. So it's just unreal. You go in banks and tellers wear our jerseys. Even the priest in my neighborhood was green. My wife told me that on Sunday the priest was greeting the people coming to mass with the Flames jersey, and he alluded to the Flames in his mass and everything. So it gets to be pretty deep, like that Ferland sign for mayor, that's right like a few blocks from my house. So I'm looking this morning to where I'm going to put Mayor Nenshi in my lineup.
Yeah, I was going to say, get Nenshi going, and then if you got the big man on your side, you never know what could happen.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm pretty sure that Mayor Nenshi would be great on forecheck.
Yeah, it looks maybe more like a stay-at-home D-man to me, but nonetheless. Hey, Bob, we talked to you before round one. We talked to you before round two. Let's do it again before round three when you're set for the West Final, all right?
Guys, thanks for having me, and thank you for the great support. And to our fans, once again, thanks. You guys are unbelievable.
Good luck, Bob.
Thank you.
Bob Hartley, head coach of the Calgary Flames.